Blog Talk Radio.
That kind of puts a damper on things, doesn't
first
it?
Time she came, the first time she came to look at the place, she was by herself, and I was like, I'm gonna bang this girl. And then the next, and then she comes with her husband the next time, and I'm like, we're gonna bang her. Okay.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready, sir.
Maybe, maybe not. Still thinking about it here.
It won't go live?
No. Let me jump out and come back in. Here, I'm going to jump out here. I'll be right back.
All right.
All right, let's try this again.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We have a great show for you today, and if you want to call in and ask questions, you can call in right now, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about the return of Danny Garcia next week. We're also going to talk about Devin Haney and who he fights next. But first, we're going to get started with ESPN. Isaac Dogbay versus Joette Gonzalez. Dogbay wins in a split decision over Gonzalez, 96-94 for Gonzalez and 96-94 twice for Dogbay. Dude, this was a razor-thin fight, man. This could have went either way. I mean, all three judges gave Dogbay the last round, which gave him the win. If he didn't do that, he was going to get a draw, it looks like. Gonzalez put a lot of pressure on Dogbay in this fight, but Dogbay was able to fight back. It was a lot of back and forth. I didn't score this fight, but any outcome to me would have been acceptable. Either guy could have won. They could have called it a draw. I wouldn't have been mad either way. But I guess my question here is this one of those things where, let's see here, does either one of these guys have a title run here? Do either one of these guys have a title run in them? I mean, can they go and win the title? Now, Dogbay is now the number one contender. That puts him up for – is it Ray Vargas that puts him up for in line?
Yeah, yeah.
He's not beating Ray Vargas. Let's be realistic, man. He ain't beating Ray Vargas. Ray Vargas is too big, too strong for him. Every big fight that Joette Gonzalez has been in, he seemed to have come up short with the exception of the Mariaga fight. I don't know. Like, I mean, do either one of these guys, after watching this fight – you know, Dogbay's not going to beat that. He's not going to beat Vargas. He's just not. You know what I mean? And where does Joette Gonzalez go here? I don't know.
Yeah, I think...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think the good thing is Dogbay's going to get an opportunity, and he's going to get a payday. And if he makes a good account of himself, he'll continue to get more fights. I mean, he's never been thoroughly beat up in a fight. He's always been in the fight. He's always been competitive, even in his losses. And he's got a very entertaining style. He's a good guy too. He's not a hard guy to get behind. So, you know, it is what it is. Well, according, we already have a cease and desist defamation case going on with Sean Newton.
Yeah, what's going on with Sean Newton? So break this down for us before we get back to the Dogbay fight, because quite honestly, this is more interesting than the Dogbay fight.
Well, there was a guy an impersonator of me here on YouTube. And that happens. We've seen
happens a lot too with you, Beeb. I know that.
We've seen impersonators.
A lot of people want to be you.
We've seen impersonators of other people. So
I just see
this guy took my Facebook profile picture and put it up on a YouTube troll account. And all you got to do is just click on the account to see it's not me. Everyone knows that the Ringside Reporter channel is mine. So he went on this other guy's channel, and he started trolling the other guy's channel. And the other guy was acknowledging that it was a troll account, but he was still calling the troll account Joe for whatever reason, knowing that it really wasn't Joe. And he's sitting there, like when we get a troll account in here, we just block him and delete him and get him out. This other guy was sitting there arguing with them for 15, 20 minutes. And Sean Newton is made a video about it and taking excerpts from the video of this guy going back and forth. And Sean Newton, the goofball that he is, living in, I'm not going to say where he lives, but he lives in Thailand. But he's over in Thailand making these making a video.
Why don't you just give his address out while you're at it?
Not for nothing.
Listen, just to be fair, though, I am Sean Newton's favorite host. Okay? I know this for fact.
And you're going to admit that?
Listen, I'm a lot of people's favorite host. I'm just
saying. That's like saying that you're Harvey Weinstein's favorite host.
Stop it.
You want that? You want that on?
How dare you?
So anyway.
I know he listens to that. I know Weinstein listens to the show, but don't worry about that. Go ahead.
Sean Newton's making a video and ripping me apart from head to toe.
Deservedly so.
And that wasn't even me. It's clearly obvious that was a troll account. Now, Sean and I got in this debate, right, about Canelo. No one's doing what he's doing and basically insinuating, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, that Canelo, like the sport, like Canelo's carrying the sport on his back. I'm not saying Canelo is not doing something good. I'm not saying that. I gave my opinion, and I basically just said that when Canelo, like when people say, oh, Canelo, no one's doing what Canelo's doing, I'm doing great things, and like making it sound like no one's doing anything great. Like Jermell Charlo was just in back-to-back 50-50 fights with Brian Castaño, right? And after the draw, he didn't have to rematch Brian Castaño, but he wanted to rematch him because a lot of people were saying he lost the fight. So he was in back-to-back 50-50 fights. He became undisputed, right? Devin Haney became undisputed. Usyk comes up from cruiserweight and upsets Anthony Joshua. I mean, there's a lot of people doing great things. Errol Spence just unified three of the belts and was in a very tough fight against Ugas. So there's other guys doing great things. So I'm not going to buy into this Canelo's the only guy doing great things in the sport of boxing right now. But we've had a great year, and we've had a lot. We've had unifications, right? Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano, they did a great thing. So, like, it's not just Canelo who's carrying the sport on his back. So that's the debate Sean and I got in. And all of my argument was, I misspoke on one thing. I thought Usyk became undisputed within a three-year period. But actually, Sean was correct. It was back in, I think, 2018 he did it, so it was past the three-year period. So again, yeah, Canelo has fought more title fights in a three-year period than anyone else has done. But my argument was I still think guys like Usyk beating Joshua, that win, in my opinion, was better than any of those wins that Canelo had on his route to become undisputed. And I also said that Usyk's route to undisputed I thought was more difficult than Canelo's. And I thought Jermell Charlo's route to undisputed was more difficult than Canelo Alvarez's. And I think those guys, in my opinion, had more impressive wins, regardless if Canelo had more fights and fought. Again, he was supposed to win all those fights. He was a 7-8 to 10-1 favorite in all those fights. So I'm not taking anything away from him. In my opinion, Usyk beating Joshua and Jermell Charlo beating Brian Castaño and Devin Haney becoming undisputed going over to Australia and beating George Kaposis, to me, those wins were more impressive than Canelo Alvarez's win. That's just my argument. And that's just my opinion. And he's getting all mad about it. Oh, you're a hater. The word hater is just basically used now in debates when when you say something that someone doesn't like, and for whatever reason, it bothers them, and it elicits an emotional emotional negative response from them for whatever reason. They don't like what you're saying, and it bothers them, and they don't want you to say it anymore. So instead of like trying to debate what you're saying, the lazy way is just, we're going to call you a hater. Listen, Tyson Fury is my favorite fighter, and you could call him, you could say anything you want about him, you could say he's this, that, and the third. I'm not going to sit there and run interference for this guy and become Tyson Fury's lawyer. These fighters don't need us to fucking, you know, become lawyers for them. You know, if Tyson Fury doesn't fight, if Usyk wins and Tyson Fury doesn't fight Usyk, it's going to be a bad look for him. I'm not going to defend that. I think it's going to be a bad look. Well, do I still think he's the best heavyweight? Yeah. But it's, you know, he's leaving the door open for an argument that he's not if he doesn't fight Usyk if Usyk wins. That's fair. So, I mean, you can have favorite fighters and you can be biased, but you have to try to be objective. So that's all I'm saying. Like Sean Newton got all mad because I'm saying I think what Usyk did and what Jermell Charlo did and what Devin Haney did was just more impressive than what Canelo did. My opinion. It's a big deal. But I guess this troll account was saying that I was saying that Crawford's resume was better than Canelo's resume, which I never said. Never said that. And if I was going to say that, Sean, don't you think I would have said that during our conversation when you came on one of my live streams and we had that debate? Yeah, you were right. Has Canelo been more active against champions in a three-year period? Has he fought more champions in a three-year period? And has he been more active against, champion fighters in a three-year period more so than anyone else? That's correct. But, again, just because someone's not doing what he's doing, it doesn't mean that the other things that these other fighters are doing aren't equally or if not more impressive. Just my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think – can I ask you an honest opinion?
Sure.
In Canelo's on those all those fights that Canelo fought at 168 to become undisputed, right? Were any of those wins, in your opinion, bigger than Oleksandr Usyk's win over Anthony Joshua?
It's tough to say. I'll tell you why. Because there's two different. I mean, number one, there's two different divisions, and you're talking about the heavyweight championship of the world. That's a big difference than a 168 pounder. But I'll ask you this. Who had better ratings? Who drew more money?
Okay. Probably Canelo. But here, well, that Usyk fight I think did 700,000 pay-per-view buys. But Canelo drew more money. But I'm asking you, what was a more impressive win?
To me, the more impressive win obviously is always going to be the heavyweight championship, because that's the man. When you think of the baddest guy on the planet in boxing, you think of the heavyweight champion.
But Eric, now I'm going to respectfully challenge you on that. Now, sure. if it was a heavyweight title fight between Anthony Joshua and Charles Martin, then I wouldn't put it in such a high regard as I put this Usyk win over Joshua. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to say is...
I get where you're coming from. I do get where you're coming from.
Usyk was a 3-1 underdog, right?
Yeah.
Jermell Charlo... right? In his two fights with Brian Castaño, they were pick-ems. Devin Haney's fight against George Kaposis, it was a pick-em, right?
Shouldn't have been a pick-em.
Canelo Alvarez, in all of those fights that he fought in that six-year period, was at least a 5-1 favorite against all of he was.
But that's not his fault, right? But that's not his fault.
I know. I understand that you can only fight who's there.
Well, not even that, because I'll tell you what, the fight against Callum Smith, I think I might have even taken Callum Smith in that fight. Did not expect that fight to go that way. When I saw the odds, I said that should be much, much closer.
I kind of did think it was going to go that
right.
way. I'm not. You remember I told you that before the fight.
You did, and everybody was like, you know, the Billy Joe Saunders fight again. I thought should have been closer than it was. For what Canelo did in blowing these guys out like he did, because none of those fights were close, that was impressive. I think you got to give him that. That was impressive.
Well, I'm gonna say, I again, it's just my opinion. I do think Plant won rounds in that fight.
Plant absolutely won rounds in that fight. I thought Plant was leading the fight up until the knockout.
I had it even.
Yeah,
it
was very close.
You know, I had it even. I thought he was winning the Saunders fight pretty clearly, in my opinion. I think I had it like 6-2 or something like that up at the point or whatever. I thought he, you know, well, that's all I'm saying. Like, just because someone does more isn't always better in this sport.
No,
it's not. You have to look at the significance of the win. Just like with Anthony Joshua, I get in these debates about Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury. Now, Anthony Joshua, in my opinion, has more solid wins than Tyson Fury. But Tyson Fury's biggest wins are better than Joshua's biggest wins, if you look at them in context, in my opinion.
He beat Klitschko.
I think when he beat Klitschko, that was a Klitschko that was undefeated for 10 years and was never, ever decisioned. His only losses came by via knockout.
But he was on the shelf for a couple of years before he came back, right?
No, not when Fury fought him.
No. Both of them beat. Yeah, you're right.
Fury
was a better win. It was Fury's
Fury.
Win was a better win over Klitschko than Joshua's win over Klitschko was.
Joshua's never. This is the first time Joshua's ever going to be an underdog going into a fight with his rematch with Usyk. Fury's been the underdog for a great part of in a lot of his fights. He was the underdog in two of the Wilder fights. He was the underdog in the huge underdog in the Klitschko. Like, to me, and again, this is my opinion, when you win when it's a 50-50 fight, or when you win when you're an underdog, or when you win when you're not supposed to win, it's more impressive than someone winning when everyone thinks they're going to win. Like, I had no doubt, and that's just my opinion, I had no doubt Canelo was going to win every single one of those fights. And I was actually surprised Bivol beat him. I was.
Yeah.
I was.
We knew it was going to be a tough fight, but we expected Canelo to win.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But when when Charlo beat Castaño, I thought that was an
a 50-50 fight.
And a lot of people, I did think Devin Haney was going to beat Camposas easily, and I think you agree with me.
Yeah.
But most people, there's a lot of people picking Camposas.
There was, and that was like a 50-50 type of fight. But
Sean is right. I'm not going to take anything away from what he said. I never did. He corrected me when I thought that, you know, like I said, Usyk unified within that three-year period, but it was past the three-year period because it was in 2018. Okay, I stand corrected, and I admitted it, and you still took a shot at me for that. If I make an incorrect statement and I correct myself, then that's over, right? I mean, you don't keep like throwing digs at me for saying something that was incorrect after I corrected myself. I didn't realize it was that long ago that Usyk unified the cruiserweight became undisputed at cruiserweight.
I didn't either. It was a 28.
I didn't think it was. It was like 28. I didn't realize it was that far away.
I didn't realize it either. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't realize that either.
Okay. You want to fucking, kill me for that? That's fine. All I'm saying is, yeah, you're right. Canelo has. I think it's a good thing Canelo has been so active. I think it's a good thing that he became undisputed. I'm just more impressed with what Usyk did by beating Joshua, and I'm more impressed with what Devin Haney did beating Camposas, and I'm more impressed with Jermell Charlo. And I'm more impressed with Katie Taylor. I think those were tougher fights.
It's okay, and I'm not saying this is the case, but it's okay to not like a fighter, too. It's okay to ride with a fighter. It's okay to not like a fighter, too.
Why does someone get offended if you have a different opinion than them?
I don't know.
And then this whole thing, like everyone's got an agenda. Like what's the agenda?
Yeah. Right, you want to push your narrative.
What agenda do I have?
Right, you're pushing your narrative.
Like, Beeb's emotional. Okay, everyone knows I'm emotional, but I can still be rational in my thought. Just because the way I present it is fucking 0 to 100, I mean, that's fine, but I'm still rational in my thought. I think I make logical points.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, man. It's like, you know, we can all have an opinion. But you know, for somebody to come out and bash you for the opinion or say it's stupid, it's
Sean,
like,
Sean's channel, the majority of his videos are just bashing people who have a different opinion than him. And because they have a different opinion than him, they always have a hidden agenda behind it. There's a conspiracy theory.
You know, I don't always agree with, like, say, 78 or something like that. I mean, but he's allowed to his opinion. And, I mean, sometimes he makes a lot of good points sometimes, you know. If he makes good points, and you know, what can you say? And we just have a difference of opinion, that's all.
And I openly admit, I like Canelo a lot. Like, I like his image. I like how he carries himself. He's a likable guy. I am biased against his – I'm not a fan of his style. I'm not a particularly big fan of his style. Just like I loved Muhammad Ali,
right?
But I wasn't a huge fan of his style. Everyone has their particular style they like, right? I love Floyd Mayweather's boxing ability, but I don't particularly like him as a person.
You can't stand him as a person, right?
I like him as a person. So, if you want to say I'm a Floyd Mayweather hater, I'll accept that. But I don't really. I like Canelo Alvarez. I think he's a good guy.
Yeah.
I think he's a great representative of the sport. I'm just not a fan of his style. And in a lot of his fights, I scored against him. Yeah, he does do that. He is a clickbaiter. That's what I try to tell everybody. He's a clickbaiter. So, you know, I am biased against Canelo Alvarez's style. I scored both the Lufkin fights against him. I scored the Lara fight against him. I had the Trout fight a draw. So, I mean, I just don't like the fact that he doesn't throw a lot of punches. I think he's very economical, right? I think he lays back and tries to suck guys up against the ropes. He'll make a guy miss sometimes, and he won't make him pay. I think he tries to fight like Mayweather, but the only difference is Mayweather, when he made you miss, he made you pay. Canelo doesn't make you pay when he makes you miss all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't like those guys. I don't like fighters who take long periods of the round off and don't throw a lot of punches. But the only person I like that does that was Mayweather. But again, there were fights where he would throw a lot of punches. You know what I mean? He just switched things up.
Yeah, so, he never lost a round because of lack of punching, put it that way.
No.
You know?
He could get away with that style.
Yeah.
Because he was much more accurate with his shots.
Well, not only that, is he made his defense made the other guy his output go down, just like a Bernard Hopkins.
Yes.
When you fight a good defensive
yes.
fighter, the other guy's output goes down because he doesn't know what's coming back and he doesn't know when.
Like I thought Golovkin outlanded Canelo in both fights. It's like he was doing more and landing more.
Yeah,
I had
Golovkin win in the first fight, and then I had him win
the
first
fight
easy. Yeah, I had him win in the first fight easy, like 116.
And you had the second fight a draw.
Second fight was a draw for sure. Yeah. But I couldn't make a case for Golovkin winning that second fight.
I mean, people, I just don't think, like I said, that you I'm not going to give Canelo credit for how great boxing's been this year. We've had a lot of great fights this year, not just Canelo fights.
Yeah, it's been a great year for boxing. It really has, especially with
no
the unifications and everything like that. Hopefully on the horizon, we got Crawford and Spence coming up.
Yeah, it's like when they say no one's doing what Canelo's doing, right? It's a slap in the face to everyone else who is doing great things.
But you got to admit, Canelo is the face of boxing.
100%.
There you go.
That's not the argument.
Right, right.
My argument is other people are doing just as impressive things as him, in my opinion.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
That's it. That's not a big deal at all. D-Style, thank you so much. He said he's at work, but stop by to show support. Thank you so much, brother. We appreciate it. And catch us on the roundtable on Thursday. Is it going to be on this channel?
Yes.
Okay.
It's going to be here.
Thursday, 8 o'clock on this channel, 8 p.m. Eastern. We'll have the roundtable with D-Style. I'll be there. B will be there. And we'll have some other guests, so tune in.
And one last thing before I have Lois you know, file the actual paperwork and send him the cease and desist. Send the cease and desist over to Bangkok, Thailand.
The actual paperwork.
The difference between me and Sean too is we're talking about it. We're having a discussion on the show. I'm not going to make a video and title it Sean is this, Sean is that. and make a big video about it. I'm not going to waste a video on that.
That's harsh.
That's clickbait.
That's unfair.
That's clickbait.
Unfair, you've gone clickbait. Too far. That's unfair.
Not a lawsuit.
That's unfair.
That's not a lawsuit. It's already in the paperwork.
That's unfair.
When I'm done with this kid, he's not going to be able to afford those prostitutes over in Thailand anymore. He won't be able to pay for them.
Ho!
He's only going to have his right hand left. That's it.
Wow, that's rough. That's rough. And those girls aren't there, you know, they're pretty cheap over there, you know, so I don't know. There you go. All right, back to Dogbay and Gonzalez. So, Beeb, where do you think Dogbay goes from here? Obviously, Dogbay is going to get a shot at Vargas. But as far as Joint Gonzalez goes, does he have a title shot left in do you see him winning the title at any point here?
Not against a guy like Vargas, no.
I don't think so either.
But here's one caveat. Dogbo is a very good inside fighter. Vargas is not. Dogbo's pretty physical and he's strong. It's not impossible. I think it's unlikely. Because Vargas is a very skilled, crafty guy. He knows how to, you know, he knows how to fight within himself, in other words. He knows that he's not a good inside fighter, right? So when someone does get close, tries to tie him up, tries to hold him, tries to get the rep to break, and then he goes out and resets. He tries to keep the fight at a distance, and for the most part, he's really good at doing that. So whether or not Dogbo is going to be able to get inside on him, that's another story. But if he does, then it could make the fight interesting is what I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure. Or just hit my window. How about that? I'm just sitting here. All of a sudden I hear a, you know, and I'm like, what's going on? I look, it's like a bird that just hit the window. Crazy birds, man. Like I'm in a Hitchcock movie here. All right. Let's actually, you know what? Let's go to the phones here. 516, you're live.
What's going on? This is Jesse, guys. How's it going?
What's going on, man?
Bringing up. Boxing podcast on the
show. I just want to let you know,
boxing,
Jesse. I just want to let you know, Jesse.
Up,
we already spoke to human resources. We put that raise in for you.
Yeah, if you guys didn't catch this, Beeb did an interview that Jesse set up with Haseem Rahman Jr. And so if you guys haven't seen it, go see it. It's a complete nightmare interview. Don't worry. I mean, Beeb does a terrible job, as usual. But go watch it anyway. It's really good.
Hey, you did a great job. I rewatched it.
You did an awesome
times.
Job.
It was a good interview. I don't see the Danny Garcia versus Benavidez fight on BoxRec. Is there something happening with that fight? It's still going on? They got the rest of the fight there, but
he's saying he's saying he didn't see the Danny Garcia Benavidez fight on BoxRec. Okay.
It's on ESPN.
It's on the schedule.
Yeah.
BoxRec is very weird sometimes.
It really is. I know they've changed up a little bit, but yeah, it is.
Yeah, they got a weird format too. I just go to that site out of habit, though. You know, because usually they have everything up there. But, yeah, I would like to see Danny back in the ring again. He's a little forgotten about, but he's a great boxer, top contender at one point. What did you guys think about Ryan saying that he'll beat Mayweather? And if Mayweather...
Ryan's a moron. Ryan's a moron. Ryan will talk and talk and talk and never put up. And it's not his fault. I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's his fault. I think it's the promoter's fault. And I think the sooner he gets away from his promoter, I think everything is going to be good for him.
Yeah, I mean, him versus Gervonta will be the fight to make, though, right? I mean, like, you know, you're talking about the pay-per-view fight, you know, for him to really prove that he's top of the top. Him versus Gervonta, and he said he would go to the weight class where Floyd is saying that he wants him to go to, so... Hopefully that.
He said he would fight 135.
You know, Ryan's very talented.
Yeah, I do too.
But Garcia is all over the place because after the Fortuna fight, at the post fight press conference, He said he wouldn't go back down to 135, but now he's saying he, this is the thing, man. Like the inconsistencies in this guy's statements. How do you believe a guy like that?
It's not. I'm telling you right now. He's not running from anybody. I don't believe that Garcia's scared of anybody. I don't think he's running from anybody. His promoter doesn't want to put him in there with anybody. That's the deal.
Yeah.
De La Hoya sucks, man. I'm telling you. Everybody's with Ryan Garcia is the only guy over there now. He lost Canelo. How do you lose Canelo? If you're a promoter, how do you lose Canelo? That makes zero sense.
And then he did a video, and he posted a video, I think it was on Instagram or something, where he's saying, the fight can be made very easily. I can call you Mayweather, or Mayweather, you can call me, and we can have Showtime and DAZN broadcast the fight. Again, like, DAZN is not going to want to just give the fight to Showtime, and Showtime is not going to want to give the fight to DAZN. This is one of those fights where it's not big enough that you could share it. It's a big fight, but it's not Lewis Tyson. It's not Mayweather Pacquiao.
He would be much better in PBC.
It would be a better Showtime fight. It would be a much better Showtime fight. Showtime pay-per-view. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter to me where it is. But it makes more sense from the fighter standpoint if it's on Showtime, because more people are going to be able to watch it. It'll be promoted better. People don't know the DAZN is not a popular platform. It just isn't. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean the DAZN doesn't really put out that many cards. That's why, you know, and I don't have a DAZN subscription. I would just rather pay for a Canelo pay-per-view. It's not really, I don't know, maybe I should get one. But last time I had one, the cards there is not even really worth watching, you know. But did you guys see the preview to the new Mike Tyson show on Hulu? That looks really good.
I did, but it's not the one isn't there one where Jamie Foxx is going to play him in a movie or something like that?
Yeah, I read something
thing.
Like that.
Yeah,
but
it's
this is another actor, you know, this is another actor, and it looks good, though.
I'll probably check it out.
I think Tyson is going to be the face of boxing for years to come, you know, like our kids, like the way we look at Ali, I think that's going to become Mike Tyson, you know, the way he handles
I think that's
career.
Fair. He's the biggest, I mean, honestly, he's the biggest star in the sport, no? I mean, he really is.
Yeah.
He's a household name. I can go up to anybody on the planet and say, do you know who Mike Tyson is? I'll say, yeah. I can go up to anybody and say, do you know who Canelo is? Not so much.
I think, in my opinion, and let me know if you guys agree with this, outside of Muhammad Ali, I think Mike Tyson is the most famous boxer of all time.
For sure.
Yeah.
I would have to, like, everyone
Absolutely.
In the world.
Absolutely.
Everyone in the world, like Mike Tyson, could walk down any street and attract a crowd.
Yes.
He's not quite Muhammad Ali, but he's the next best thing.
I would even go a step further and say, if anybody knows Muhammad Ali, they know Mike Tyson.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell this quick, brief story. I remember when I worked at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel back in 1995. Muhammad Ali was in Boston to get an award from Harvard. He was getting like an honorary degree. And he came out of the Ritz-Carlton and get ready to walk into a limo. Everything just stopped. It froze. Ever see like a movie like The Matrix where everything just goes? Everyone just went like, and no one moved. It was amazing.
Some people have
I've
a
never
presence
seen anything
about
like that in my life.
Yeah, some people have that like presence about them. You know, when they walk into a room, things stop. You know,
it's like when I go into Stop and Shop or Publix.
Yeah,
everyone just goes.
I heard it's like that when you go into bathhouses too. I heard it's like that. People. Just
oh, and I guess when I go to those Swedish massage parlors, forget about it. Forget about it. They're ready for the bees.
I'll leave you guys on this note, too. I changed my pick for Haseem Rahman versus Jake Paul. I think Rahman's going to knock him out. On the interview you did with him, Beef, you know, he says a lot of the tricks that Jake Paul's trying to pull. 0% of the pay-per-view, that's kind of disrespectful, you know. I tried to figure out the math on what he's making. I think I got it from the answer he gave you. But he said that it's not.
200,000.
That's it?
Yeah.
200,000.
I'm guessing 200,000.
Are you serious?
Well,
that's terrible.
Well,
man.
The way I came to that conclusion is, I don't know if Beeb knows for sure, but he said I'm not even making. He said you could double the price of his last opponent, and I'm not making that much, which would be $1 million.
Everyone that's fought him has made like 500,000, and he's not even making half that. So I'm guessing 200,000.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's 200,000.
You know, and
yeah,
yeah. That's
making 200,000. That's
awesome.
And 0%
of the pay-per-view. Yeah, that's horrible. I'm picking him by knockout in the six, Haseem Rockman. I'm out.
There you go. You're on record. All right, Jesse, we're going to get going here. Look, you know, Beeb, that interview was really good. I can't believe he's only getting 200,000.
Well, it's not confirmed.
But that's kind of what we're guessing.
It's pretty close. I mean,
and how much is Paul getting for this fight?
He's getting a guarantee of like $3 million or something like that.
That's awful. I mean, that's just awful.
That's retarded. You know what? Here's the thing, Eric. He's sitting there talking shit about Dana White, how he's paying his fighters crap.
Right.
He's sitting there saying how he wants to help, you know, bring pay to boxing and shit. Right. So what's the disparity in percentages there? $3 million and 200,000.
Well, and not only that. I saw an interview with Daniel Cormier, UFC fighter, former UFC fighter, UFC heavyweight champion.
Yes.
Saw him and in an interview, he was saying guys like Israel Adesanya make like $7 million a fight. He said the posted one is just what they give you. He said when he lost to John Jones, you know, he was really kicking himself. He was really down or whatever. Dana called him a couple days later and said, man, you guys did a great fight. I'm going to send you $1 million. And he FedExed it the next day, $1 million check. So the numbers that you see are not the actual numbers that they get. Plus, they get back in pay-per-view money and everything like that.
I agree with that. I agree.
So it's not as crazy as you know people try to make it. And again, with the UFC, there's not a fight you want to see that you will not see. If it's a fan favorite fight, you will see it. We're not going to wait all day for Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence, you know, or you know whoever it may be. So. All right, let's go back to the phones. 914, New York, you're live.
Yeah, I'm from New York. This is Fernando. How you guys doing?
Fernando, how you
doing,
man?
Good, brother. How's it going?
So two things. Yesterday's ESPN card, you know, ESPN, like, they have access to some of the best production just because, you know, it's a big, big company. But the commentary, you know, I'm just not the biggest fan of the commentary throughout the card. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
The commentary sucks. I hate Tim Bradley. I don't know why. Jim Lampley's out there. Roy Jones is out there. Go get them. Somebody, please go either them or DAZN. Go get them. Because the commentary they have now with DAZN's got Sergio Mora, and then we got Tim Bradley over here at ESPN, and then was it Joe Tessitore, who's not great? I don't understand. They put all this money into production, and their announcers are just garbage.
Tessitore is like, he always tries to bring this story that goes on outside of the ring, like things that go on in their personal life, and he always likes to bring it up in between rounds. I guess it's good for certain fights. You know, you want to paint a nice picture for casual fans, people that are watching,
yeah.
You know, people that don't religiously watch boxing, but, you know, I don't know. I think they can make some improvements. Not saying that, you know, it's terrible. It's just, it's getting a little bit, you know, it's annoying.
Yeah.
I agree. In fact, I watched the fight today, the Joy Gonzalez fight today, and I watched it with the sound off, you know, and I didn't even listen to the commentary. I just watched the fight, just watching it on mute, you know, on my computer, because I can't deal with it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Guys, I saw for the title for this live is it's about the Demetrius Andre, Johnny Beck, Aleem Khanouli / Chris Eubank I guess you can call it a triangle, even though it's not, because I think Eubank is going to go for the payday against Conor Benn, even though I don't know why Eddie Hearn makes fights like that. He should have learned with Gennady Golovkin and Cal Brook.
That's what I'm saying.
And I was doing
same thing.
Bad fight.
A horrible fight for Conor Benn. A horrible fight for Conor Benn.
So this is the thing with the boxing world. Demetrius Andrade kind of pushed himself between a rock and a hard place because nobody, like, if he just quietly, you know, he had the injury, some people question the validity of that injury, which, you know, that's up for speculation. But I thought he would go through with the 168 fight with Zach Parker. But when he didn't show up for that press conference and said his passport was expired, it didn't make any sense because didn't he recently go on a vacation to Cape Verde. Yeah.
So
he told Frank Warren his passport was expired, and that's why he didn't go for the press conference. And I was thinking about it. Hey, didn't this guy just recently travel somewhere?
You know, these guys and their passports and this and that. I mean, I know guys who have passports, and everyone keeps up with their passport. It's not that difficult to keep up with your passport.
Right.
And you know as a fighter that, you know, you're going to travel, right? So Tommy Fury not getting his paperwork in order, and now Demetrius Andrade not getting his paperwork.
They don't
in
want
order.
The fight.
They don't want
the fight. That's it. Long and short, they don't want the fight.
Okay, so you guys said
you want it that bad, you get your paperwork together.
Exactly. You'll find a way. Like Ryan Garcia said in the ring, if there's a will, there's a way. So
yep.
Guys, with the boxing world is now paying attention to Demetrius Andrade calling out Chris Eubank, and now that's what makes it look like a duck. I'm not saying, you know, Demetrius, you got to take this fight or you're a duck. No, it's the way that he's going about it. It's got people talking, and now there's more eyes on the situation than before. So I think he's kind of backed into a corner where if he doesn't take the Johnny Beck fight and he loses his title, he looks kind of desperate, and you never want to look desperate in this game. Like looking for a fight because it's just that's when everybody.
Well, I'll tell you what, you can't look any more desperate than he did in that video. I mean, was desperation at 100.
Well, let me ask you this: he didn't look desperate when he went to the post-fight press conference of Canelo versus Billy Joe Saunders.
Get the fuck out of here, man! Please.
I mean, he looked desperate too.
Yeah, but the problem between then and now is. He was up for contention then. Like, you have to look at the recent series of events. Like, okay, the Zach Parker fight fell out. He said he had a shoulder injury. Didn't go to the press conference because of passport issues. So he pulls out of that fight. So then it's announced that Zach Parker is going to fight somebody else, and I think the venue changed, whatever. So that's that. Then what happened? That happened after the I don't want to say avoiding Johnny Beck, right? I don't want to say that he was ducking or avoiding, but he swerved around the Johnny Beck situation and went for the Zach Parker situation. The Zach Parker situation fell through. I guess he's rehabbing the injury, or he has already rehabbed the injury. And now that, you know, Eddie Hearn said he can't do anything, like, this is a really messed up situation for a fighter that, you know, he's a two-division undefeated world champion. An American champion at that. This isn't like a Guillermo Rigondeaux where, you know, it's a little bit different because he's somewhat marketable because when he talks, like, you know, he does have a personality. It's just that some of the stuff that happens. And also, he may be a little bit difficult to deal with because I don't know what happened with the proposed Arislandi Lara fight. There was the fallout with the original Jermell Charlo fight with the whole Rock Nation deal. So, this situation right here, man, it's like it's almost a no-win situation. But if he could somehow maybe make the Johnny Beck fight and walk away with a belt, at least he has that 160 world title. But at this point, I'm kind of questioning whether he has the ability to beat Johnny Beck because it seems that he doesn't want that fight.
He doesn't want it. Don't be surprised if he vacates that title. Everyone's telling me I'm crazy for saying that. Oh, the title. Without the title, he has nothing. Even
he's
with
got
the
nothing
title,
anyway.
He still wasn't getting big fights even with the
he's
title.
He's over here begging for big fights right now.
Now he doesn't have Eddie Hearn behind him either, so what good is that title going to do if you don't have a promoter anyway?
He dropped Eddie Hearn dropped him because he couldn't promote this guy. That's, I mean...
Well, he didn't drop him. The contractual obligations were over. You know, he didn't release him out of his contract.
But he never picked him back up.
Yeah, he didn't
That's the point. He never re-signed him.
He didn't re-sign him.
Well, guys, let me tell you this. If Johnny Beck can somehow get a Demetrius Andre fight made, his career trajectory changes if he's able to beat a Demetrius Andre compared to a Golovkin who couldn't get an opponent like Andre in the earlier part of their pro career. I'm not saying.
And I tell you what, I think he beats Andre. I think Janibek beats Andre.
And it's gonna be, if he can, that's what makes his career a lot different than Gennady Golovkin. Because Gennady Golovkin had to fight a lot of B and C level guys, and then as he got older, that's when the big fights came. He couldn't get a Cotto, he couldn't get a Sergio Martinez, he couldn't get a Canelo right away. So for Johnny Beck, this is big if this gets made. But then again, I don't know if Demetrius Andrade wants it. You know, I don't know how he's looking. He might just.
Yeah.
There's no way he's getting a Chris Eubank fight. Chris Eubank is going to get a lot of money for fighting a blown up welterweight.
Yeah, it's not a good fight. It's a good money fight from a promoter's perspective, but competitively, I don't see how it's going to be that great.
And here's the thing, Eric. I don't know what your thoughts on this. Conor Benn's not even really a big welterweight.
No.
He's not.
No,
he's not
this is not a good fight. This is not. I don't understand why his handlers are entertaining this.
Fight,
just depends on how much money he's getting. I mean, it really does. All right, Fernando, thank you so much for calling in, man. We're going to get running. We appreciate it, man. I think this is first time calling in. I think this is first time calling in. So, man,
yeah,
it's
my first time.
That's good stuff, man. Awesome.
Don't be a stranger.
Call back in, all right? So, yeah, man, it's, that Conor Benn fight, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, too, but I don't like it. I think that's a horrible fight for him.
I don't like the fight, Eric.
Not at all, because he's going to get mauled in there, I would think, but I don't know. That's what all signs point to. Let me tell you what else all signs point to. A lot of chatter in the chat for this man, the legend, Ringside Robert, 530, you're live. And again, maybe you're not. Oh, would this be a pain?
There you go. Hello.
Robert, you're live.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good.
You didn't pay your phone bill this week? What the fuck?
No. He forgot to unmute me, Joe. Come on.
No, come on.
Don't blame me.
Come on.
Get yourself a better phone is what you need to do.
Anyway.
Eric took you off the family plan. That's what happened.
No. I have my own plan, thank you. Good call by Fernando. It's nice to hear new people call in. Great stuff. And everybody, be sure to hit the like button already. Come on. Let's go.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
There you go. When last night's fight was first announced, I'm thinking to myself, why in the world are these two guys going to fight? Because every time both Dogbay and Gonzalez have been in big fights, they've folded under the pressure and they haven't really succeeded that well. And I thought, well, it'll be interesting to see what kind of fight we get. And it turned out to be a lot better than I thought. But to answer your question, neither one of these guys are going to be a major threat at 126. I think Navarrete has already beaten both of these guys, and I think any of the other current champions would probably walk through both of these guys with no issue. So I realize it was a title eliminator, but I don't see a good trajectory for the winner or the loser of last night's fight.
I don't either. I'll be honest, man. Like I said, Joey Gonzalez, again, every big fight he's in, he just can't capitalize. He's got talent. I just don't know if he has championship talent. You know what I mean? He's a great contender. He's, back in the day, he would have been a strong contender. But I don't think he is able to cross over to that upper echelon, I'll be honest.
Well, Eric, that's why there's levels to this game, and he cannot reach the next level. He can only get so far, and that's it. You know, and when you have a career like that, and you realize that that's what your trajectory is, it makes you wonder. Well, what do I continue to do here? Because every time he steps up, he gets beat. You know, and as far as Connor Ben, go ahead, Joe.
What did you think of Gabriel Flores, man? Are you going to suggest that maybe he finds something else to do?
Well, for him, I don't know what he no, he's only 20, what is he, 22? But he's in a case where I don't know what's going to happen to him either, because he was supposed to win yesterday's fight, and he looked absolutely outclassed. And if you're his management team or your top rank, you've got to figure out what you can do, because he had difficulty continuing to make 130, and last night was 135, and he looked like he didn't belong there, and that's terrible to say about a 22-year-old.
Yeah, that is awful, Robert. Why would you say something like that?
That's the way it looked. But as far as Connor Benn and Chris Eubank Jr.,
that's rough.
I don't know why. Look, I guess everybody has their financial price. As far as if you write a big enough check, I'll do just about anything. But he looks good at 147. Why the hell would you take a fight other than financial gain? Because Chris Eubank is much bigger than him. The destroyer, as he calls himself, is going to get destroyed if he takes this fight.
That's not fair.
And I wonder. I wonder, guys, just writing
that dude off, man.
I wonder if Nigel Benn and Chris Eubank Sr. have anything to do with either one of their sons taking this fight.
I think the money has more to do with it than anything else. I mean, that's why they're in it. I mean, so if somebody writes a big enough check, he'll fight, you know, the heavyweight champion.
Right.
You know what I mean? It is.
Right.
It's about money. So, you know, that's what's going down.
But
this is important. Beeb, I've just been informed that United States lawsuits will not hold weight in Taiwan. So we are going to have to get a Taiwanese lawyer, because apparently that's where Sean Newton lives.
We're already on it. We're already on it. We have offices over in there right now.
What do you remember the lawyer we retained? Do you remember his name?
Yes. Edward Fong.
Fong? You're a moron.
His name, Edward Fong.
You're such a moron.
Let you know. Oh, we have the best legal team in the world, Beeb Industries.
One other question before I get out of here, guys. What kind of future do you think Danny Garcia has at 154 pounds?
Well, we'll see after this fight. Jose Benavides is no pushover. We're going to see after the fight. I'm real curious to see him in there. He fights very sporadically. It's never like he's on a consistent, he's never on a consistent fight schedule. It'll be interesting to see what he does in this fight and how he looks. And I think this fight is going to say a lot. That's why I'm anxious for this fight. This fight's going to say a lot about Garcia. Now, Garcia should win, but again, you know, activity sells, man, or activity is, you know, is the key.
Yes,
you have to stay active, especially in a sport like this.
Yes,
so.
It does. Okay, guys.
All right, catch you next week. Robert. Sounds good. All right. All right, before we go back to the phones, let's talk about the upcoming schedule here. Let's see here. What do we got? The only real fight that I'm seeing on here is June 30th, Saturday, Brooklyn, New York, on Showtime. Danny Garcia versus Jose Benavides Jr., 12 rounds, junior middleweights. Adam Konofsky versus Ali Aaron Demarizan, 10 rounds, heavyweights. This is the fight, to me, this is the fight of the night right here. Gary Antoine Russell versus Rancis Bartholomew, 10 rounds, junior welterweights. To me, that's going to be the fight of the night. I love that fight. I think it's going to be good. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. See how it goes. Danny Garcia, Jose Benavides, B, who wins that fight?
I think Garcia stops him fairly easily, with all due respect. I just never been really impressed with Jose Benavides. I think that leg injury has a lot to do with it, with his situation in the ring. I don't think he's mobile.
Think that's why he was picked?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good entry-level fight for someone to enter a division, right? You know?
Yeah. Hopefully, hopefully the injury doesn't show too much, and hopefully he can, hopefully he can do his thing. But, again, they're kind of both coming up from 147 anyway. But, listen, this is a – don't get it twisted. This is a showcase fight for Danny Garcia.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be a squash match. Yeah, this is,
He's not going to be defensively responsible in this fight. He was in his last fight against the, with all due respect, the nondescript opponent. He was getting hit in that fight as well, too. And I think he narrowly won that fight. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, not good. So, but again, if you're going to pay attention to it on that card, Gary Russell, Rancis Bartholomew, to me, that's going to be the fight of the night. So that should be good. Quick shout out before we go to the news and rumors here. My dad, Ramon Lorta, is 74 years old today. So happy birthday, Dad. I know you're listening.
The big G.
The big G. What? What are you talking about?
Call Mr. Lorta the big G.
The big G. All right, I got you. I was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I missed it.
Mr. Lorta's official. He's the big G.
The OG. The OG.
The OG.
There you go.
The big OG.
All right. This will affect Ringside Robert the most, I believe. ESPN Plus has a price hike coming your way on August 23rd. The price of ESPN Plus will jump from $6.99 to $9.99 per month. And the annual plan is going up from $69.99 to $99.99. The 43% increase is the second subscription price hike in little more than a year. Beeb, what's going on with this?
I just paid my yearly subscription, and it's telling me. But here's the thing. Let me look at my subscription when I go. Let me look at what it says for my renewal. Because I may be locked in,
but if I say yeah, right, it starts August 23rd. So you are locked in whatever rate you do, but it starts on August 23rd.
The same thing with Corey too. Like Corey got screwed because he missed the cutoff with his own. Now he's got to pay like 130 something for the thing. So let me see where it says here my ESPN Plus. Is supposed to renew for $70.
Because August 23 is when that rate starts. So if you pay any time before then, you're good.
Yeah.
So yeah, but that's a big price hike, man.
I'm grandfathered in for that $99 price with his own, and everyone else who purchased it after.
Yeah.
They got to pay, I think, what is it, $129 or $139? I can't remember.
I don't remember. Did you catch the, I don't know if you guys caught the press conference this week. It was one of the first ones. Adrian Broner walked out of a virtual press conference this week. He was there to promote his fight against Omar Figueroa on August 20th. Broner stated, I'm not with this. What they got going on. This is his words, not mine. I feel like Al Heyman and Steven Espinoza is BS, because why is we doing this press conference on a computer? They don't do this to Floyd on a computer when he fights a YouTuber. They don't do this to anybody else on a computer, but they want mine on my knee on a computer. They're telling me they're what they're basically telling me is they don't give an F about me. So when you say it's F me, it's F y'all. Which at that point, he got up, walked out of the conference, and then Mike Stafford, his trainer, of course, had to kind of just, you know, he stayed for the full hour. It's for COVID protocols, which is why they do the virtual press conference. Nobody really likes doing the virtual press conference. They'd rather be in there. And I think later on, they'll do a press conference where they're all together. I don't know if this guy is crazy like a fox or just plain crazy. You know what I mean? I don't know. I have no idea. Because with, you know, you could take, you know, you could take your promoter hat and say, with just that 3-minute soliloquy he did there, he sold the fight. Because now I'm interested. Now I'm in. Now I want to see what's going on. What is he going to say next?
Now it's personal.
Now all of a sudden he hates everybody. He hates, you know, now later on he put out a tweet saying there's nothing wrong with Espinoza. We're all good, everything like that. You don't know. Like, I don't know if he's legitimately just crazy or crazy like a fox, because like I said, he single-handedly would now has got everybody interested in that fight.
Yeah, he's a weird dude, man.
He's a weird dude, but, I mean, he knows how to promote. He knows what he's doing, even if he doesn't do it on purpose, you know? I don't get it. A real feel-good story here. Wanhang Menayothan, former TBE, Wanhang Menayothan. May have lost his fight this week to CP knockout Freshmart, but who cares? He's already got a career outside of boxing. Wanhang has opened a Pad Thai restaurant in Bangkok called the Wanhang Pad Thai. It's apparently received good reviews, and Wanhang apparently makes everything from scratch. How awesome is that, Pete?
Great.
How awesome is that? We talk about this all the time, about what fighters do after the case, you know, because – everybody thinks they live in mansions on the hills and everything like that. Not everybody gets paid what you see on TV. The big guys get paid. So Wanhang, I think, went 54-0 before he lost. So, yeah. Andy Ruiz, did you see the space off with Louis Ortiz, Bede?
Yeah, he didn't look that good.
He looks real bad, doesn't he? He looks overweight. He looks unmotivated. Yeah, I think – I'll be honest. I don't – you know, again, and I don't want to pile on the guy. I don't want to, you know, but he looks like he's checked out. I mean, that last fight he had wasn't great. He should have walked that guy. He should have dog walked that guy. That guy's been around forever. Was it Chris Areola? Was that his last fight? That was his last fight, you know?
Yes.
I mean, and now he's fighting Louis Ortiz. I would not be surprised if Louis Ortiz beats him. I really wouldn't.
I'm going to bet on Louis Ortiz, to be honest with you.
Wouldn't be shocked at all. Andy Ruiz is just, he's so up and down. I think once he beat AJ and once he rematched him, got the money and everything like that, I mean, what do you, you know, look, man. I mean, what do you, it's hard to get up and train after that, after getting a taste of that life, you know. So, all right, let's talk about the big one here. Demetrius Andrade pleads for a fight with Chris Eubank Jr. Andrade put out a 3-minute video, basically begging, hat in hand on his knee, begging Chris Eubank Jr. to fight him. Eubank is trying to get a fight with Conor Benn, which is a much bigger fight. Let's be honest. It's a bigger fight. It's a bigger fight. There's more money in that fight. It's an easier fight, you know, with the two histories between the families. It's a no-brainer to me that he's going to take that fight. You know, again, now we have also concerns about, you know, that fight being a mismatch. But on paper, if you're a promoter, it's a promoter's dream, Beeb. Two families that have fought for generations now. There's two different generations of these guys fighting, like Hatfield and McCoy's. Two different generations of these guys fighting, right? It's a dream. It's a promoter's dream. We can get them at a catch weight. It's a promoter's dream, right? Chris Eubanks, this is what Andre said in the video, Chris Eubanks, we offered you a lot of money to fight me, bro. Over $1 million. For me, that's over $1 million, bro. We're talking. It's not for the fans' sake. It's for your pocket, for your dad, for your mom, for your dad. I don't know if you got kids. I got kids. I got 4 kids, bro. You feel me? I do what I do. But there's a whole lot of money on the table for me to fight the WBO. And when I say super, I don't mean super middleweight champion. Like, bro, we are stars. You're a star. I'm a star. I'm a superstar. You're a star. You got losses. You got two losses. You're going to make a lot of money. Let's put this fight together, bro. You're talking about somebody, talking about Ben, that's not even relevant to the situation. Chris Eubanks, man, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Stop acting like that. Stop acting like that. Let's make this money. Let's feed our kids. Let's give boxing fans what they're looking for. It's Demetrius Andrade versus Chris Eubanks, October, November, by the end of the year, and everybody, we're going to be a millionaire. Stay tuned. Wow. This is word for word from the video. That was word for word from the video. Guys, that was hard to watch. I'll be honest, man. That was tough to watch. That was awful. That was awful. This is why you hire promoters. This is why you hire promoters. Because that was, I mean, Beeb, if that's not begging, I don't know what is. I don't know what is, man.
Yeah, that's embarrassing, to be quite honest.
It, right? I got kids. You got kids. It's for your parents. For you. Please don't do this. Please don't do this.
Please don't do this.
Don't do that, man. Don't do that.
Dude. It's like when you're breaking up with a girl.
Right.
And you're walking out the door. And she grabs you by the hand. Please don't go. Don't do this to me.
Right? I mean, no, for no, real. Like,
I want to put out business off the door. She did that. You did do that once. But it's hilarious.
Wow. I mean, like, dude, you just left, you know, your backbone and everything else like that on the front porch, son, because that was
don't
bad.
Leave me.
Please don't leave me.
Don't go.
Please.
Please don't go.
Wow.
Don't go.
That was awful, right, man. Yeah, and he's very, of all people, he's very Chris Eubank. Chris Eubank, right? Like, what? Does Eubank doesn't have a title? Doesn't have a title. He's got two losses. You're begging this dude? His career, son, is in shambles. And it's bad because, like, I always thought Demetrius Andrade could be something like an Andre Ward, you know, where he's got those skills. You know, he's got a lot of good skills. He's a good fighter. It just hasn't happened for him. You know, he's turned down. I believe he's probably turned down a lot more fights than he's taken. And that's a part of it. You know, you got to keep winning, man. You just got to keep grinding, you know? Right. And the kid's back. Perfect. And that's the world champion. Yeah. That's the world champion begging for fights. Yeah. Little Penny says, Andre is a poor man's Ward. Yeah. I would go along with that. It's insane. Can you imagine, like, dude, he's got kids. What if his kids are going to see that tape? You know what I mean? His kids are going to see that video. Like, come on, man. That was just bad all the way around.
I wonder what Eddie Hearn said when he saw that. He
probably didn't say anything. He probably just kept laughing. You know? I mean, like we did. I mean, we didn't, you know? It's hard not to, like, you know, feel bad for him, but then it's hard not to laugh either, you know?
That's embarrassing, isn't it?
It's bad, man. It's bad. And again, that video, what I read to you, that was transcribed from the video. Awful. Awful.
What a disgrace.
Frank Bay, yes, Joette versus Dog Bay was a title eliminator. And Ray Vargas is the champion that Dog Bay will, you know, hopefully it's soon to be the mandatory for, but who knows how that goes. Okay, so this is a different one too. Mike Coppinger is actually reporting that plans are underway for Devin Haney to rematch George Kambosos in October in Australia. It sounds like the venue will be much smaller than the stadium. The stadium held 60,000, I believe, Beeb, and the new arena will hold 20,000. Big difference. It's and now both Bob Arum and Devin Haney are saying, well, we don't know yet. That may not be the fight. We're talking, blah, blah, blah. Beeb, we've said this from the beginning. You and I have said this from the beginning. There is no reason to rematch this fight.
No reason to rematch them. You know, and again, I made a video about this. All I said, I think it was about maybe a month and a half ago, and I said Lomachenko may be next for Devin Haney. I didn't say he was going to be next. I said he may be next. So he could be next, I think.
Yeah.
I think the words were, I think it was could. So, I tweeted it out, obviously. It's my video. I want people to watch it. And then, like, all these people, like, jumping on me. Oh, they got a rematch clause. What are you talking about? Blah, 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 blah. And then I showed them, you know, the article that Bob said, and I showed them the Todd DeBuff quote that they're trying to, they'd like to, they would like to make that fight, whatever. And I was like, oh, well, they're lying. They're lying. So my question is this. Why do you guys believe the stories that you want to believe, and then the stories that you don't want to believe, people are lying? Now, again, everyone has different sources, and these different sources tell us different things, right? That's fine. Are we right all the time? No. But I never said definite. I'm still skeptical whether the fight happens, the rematch happens or not. All I know is they were talking, trying to make the Lomachenko fight behind the scenes, right? They're trying to talk Kambosos out of exercising this rematch clause, right?
I would if I was his promoter.
They don't want this fight.
Who would promote this fight, B? Because I know Kambosos
Top Rank
will promote this fight.
Yeah, Top Rank will promote it. They don't want the fight. Top Rank and Lou DiBella both have options on George Kambosos and Devin Haney.
Yeah, I thought DiBella promoted the first fight.
Top Rank.
Because he was a champion. Okay.
It was on ESPN.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough sell. Again, and you're going from a 60,000-seater to, where did I see? Little Penny said it was about, it's where the tennis, the Australian Open is, so it's about 18,000 seats.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. That's a huge difference.
They're going to take a bath on this. They're going to make significantly less money.
It's going to be completely one-sided.
And he's going to lose back-to-back fights. What Kambosos should do is let Lomachenko and Haney fight and then possibly fight the winner or something and then just have a fight in between.
Yeah, what he needs to do, and I think his handlers need to tell him, like, look, man, you're not beating this guy. You know, he's all wrong. His style's all wrong for you. It really is. There's no – I don't see any way. They could fight 100 times. I don't see any way he beats Haney. He just doesn't.
And the date is not October 16th. It hasn't been finalized yet, right? That they were basically saying that was the person that reported that was the targeted date.
Yeah.
So again, like, just like when Fury Joshua, I kept telling everyone that fight wasn't going to happen, and everyone was like, oh, you're just a hater, you're a hater, you're a hater. Like, again, like, you guys pick and choose which stories you want to believe. That's the thing. You're looking for confirmation bias.
Right.
Like, I just because I made that video, I got attacked. Oh, well, there's a rematch. Blah, blah, blah. Again, they're trying to work around it. They're trying to talk Kambosos out of fighting him. They don't want the fight. They're gonna take a bath on the fight.
All right, I gotta take
a bath on it.
I gotta take umbrage here, Beeb. You were not attacked. All right. I mean, it's not like you were in the alley and you got jumped. You got cyberbullied. There's a big difference. Why don't you be a man?
Let me explain something to you.
Why don't you explain it to me then?
There's different levels of trauma. Sometimes.
Is this up there with being bit by a mini poodle? Is that?
I'm gonna explain something to you.
Small dog. Say.
I'm gonna explain something to you. This is what you have to understand. Someone could physically attack me. Those bruises will heal. But if you verbally attack me and you say defamatory things to me or about me.
It's not you were verbally raped.
That
I mean, it was just
stays
like a, you
in
know,
my brain for the rest of my life.
Oh, stop.
It's not like getting punched in the face and that bruise will heal.
Wounds heal.
That bruise will heal. Words will last forever.
Sound like a jilted prom date out here
this
talking about.
You
I was
need
attacked.
To understand.
I was attacked by people on the keyboards. What's the matter
okay.
with you? You're a thicker skin. Grow up.
I'm getting tired of it, man. I'm getting tired of it.
Let's go to the phones here. 773, you're live.
About damn time y'all don't answer the phone. Hey, y'all doing?
Oh, no.
What's
this
up?
This guy's still around? I thought he was gone.
And I was just shooting the shit. All of a sudden, I seen you guys on live. I had to call in, have a talking while. How y'all doing?
What's up, man?
What's up, brother?
Jack shit. Hey, George, I got to say, appreciate the Manscaped. I'm still using it. Still got
nice.
A supply.
Love it.
You guys
love
still
it.
In contact with them?
No. We're no longer sponsoring with them, but hey, if you use it, that's great, man.
They're
going
to follow suit
against them. They're lost.
We're going to follow suit. They're lost. We're going to follow suit. Team's lawsuit happy today.
Breaking contracts with them.
Breaking
contracts. Got something for their ass.
Exactly. What do they think?
The Cochran legal team.
Anyways. boxing. It's just another slow. It's like Devin Haney versus George Gamboza. That was the last fight I was interested in. And then it's just week after week where it's like Danny Garcia versus Benavidez or something. It's like, oh, okay. What's the next fight I got to look forward to? Joshua versus Usyk? It's pretty much.
Yeah,
what
pretty much.
Down to.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Unless you're interested in the Garcia fight this weekend, yeah.
Yeah. A little bit of a lull.
Yeah, this is what always drives me crazy with boxing. You've got about 3 good fights a year, and the rest is just bullshit. in between that,
man.
It's a bunch of hooping, hollering. It's a bunch of chest pumping. It's entertaining, though.
Bringing the heat.
Like that Andrade. Like that Andrade. That's entertaining.
Did you watch
that's
that video? Oh,
I didn't
beautiful.
Watch the video, but just based off what the way you guys said it, I was laughing my ass off because that's what keeps me around. This it keeps bringing me back to boxing. It's the circus, the clown show, and the big fights every now and again. But
there you go.
Usyk, Triple G versus Canelo. I'm looking forward to that. Haney versus Gamboza. It's definitely not like the first one, but I'm really interested. I want to see if George can tweak some things and make it a competitive fight. I don't think so. I think it's just a bad matchup, but I'll be tuning in. Other than that, same old shit, right?
There it is. All right, Kevin, we're going to get rolling, man. Thank you so much for calling
hey,
in,
George,
brother.
Happy birthday to your pops.
Sounds good. Thank you, sir.
All right,
brother. All right. Area code 410. You're live.
How you doing? Hello?
Good. Who are we speaking with?
This is Jerry calling from Baltimore.
Jerry.
Can you hear him? Yeah.
Yes. Go right ahead.
Yeah, George Gamboza's and Devin Haney. I mean, what we know about that, it was widely reported in the negotiation the first time that there was an immediate rematch clause to take place in Australia. And that's just how it goes. Bob Arum was aware of that when he signed Devin Haney. He knew that that was in the cards. The fight was one-sided, yes, and it's not often that a fighter wins as comprehensively as Haney did and then the other fighter comes back and wins, but it does happen. Now, a recent example is Andy Ruiz and Anthony Joshua. And, in fact, Andy Ruiz put a beating on Joshua and stopped him, and Joshua came back and righted the ship. He boxed cautiously in the rematch, but he got the job done. Do I think that Gamboza can beat Devin Haney? Probably not, but in the first fight, I believe two of the judges had the fight scored just by a 2-point margin, if I'm not mistaken. I might be mistaken about that. But I think I remember two of the judges had it 115 or 113 or something like that when Gamboza didn't even win a round. Imagine if he comes and fights a slightly better fight and wins 3 or 4 rounds. He'll get that bogus decision at that point. And I think that has a lot to do with why they don't want to go back there, because if he fights even a slightly better fight, they may rob Haney of the decision. And plus, Arum is not keen, if you haven't noticed, on promoting alongside with DiBella, in a sense, that because that's just another mouth that has to be fed. DiBella's not involved in that and just not getting anything out of the deal. So that, I think, complicates matters a little bit as far as why they want to go back there, and add to the fact Devin Haney, by his own admission, is outgrowing 135. He's huge at that weight, and sooner or later, it's going to catch up to him.
So let me read you the scores from the first Kambosos fight. I was unanimous for Devin Haney, obviously, 116, 112 twice, and 118 to 110. So even
okay,
there, it was 8-4,
so
and then 10-2. So, yeah, it would be difficult, and I'm not 100% sure. I don't think Devin Haney cares where he fights or who he fights. We kind of look at it from a promoter's aspect, So they were in a 60,000-seat arena last time. They'll be in a 20,000-seat arena this time. I'm just wondering, like, there's no money here. You know what I mean? How can they make this fight when there's not, you know?
Well, I can tell you how. What it means is Kambosos is not going to get a $10 million purse like he did in the first fight. That's what it means.
Correct.
It just means the fight's not going to be, you know, it's my understanding the Australian government, like they did with Pacquiao Horn, they got involved and they financed a good bit of that fight. Maybe they don't do that this time, and Kambosos is going to have to take the fight more on merit than money. He got the money in the first one, and this one, if it's to be made, because the economics will be different, it just simply means he won't get the money that he was going to get. I just think now that Arum has signed Haney, he wants to move him in a different direction, and likely what he wants is to match him with Loma, because Loma, as far as I know he has his own little promotion, like a lot of these fighters, but Loma doesn't have another promoter that has to be dealt with like Kambosos does. And, then what they need to do is just match him up. Devin Haney needs to do what he agreed to do, unless he moves out of the division. If he moves out of the division, that's okay. But if you're going to stay at 135, he just needs to do what he agreed to do, the same way tons of fighters have done in the past. A lot of people don't want to see it. I get that, because the fight was one-sided, and I get that. But I've been watching boxing for over 40 years, and I've seen – and like I say, I'm not going to act like it's routine, but it does happen where a fighter can have a bad night and lose in a one-sided fashion, and he can come back and get a W. I just think they don't want to go over there, partly because they're afraid that, you know, if he fights a slightly better fight, you know, two judges had that fight a four-point fight, and it was anything but a four-point fight. So if Kambosos fights a slightly better fight, then who knows what could happen. That was my fear for Devin Haney going over there to begin with. If it does happen, I'll say this much too. Haney needs to relinquish his jab and grab boring style. I'm a fight fan from way back. I can appreciate a good boxer, but don't tell me you're a master boxer if you're not throwing fast combinations. Good boxers will also fight on the inside. They'll stand right in front of you and make you miss and counter, see Pernell Whitaker or Mayweather. Don't just jab and grab. This is why when Haney gets done over there with Kambosos, I pretty much guarantee you're going to have a real hard time getting fights and making fights, because he does not have that big of a fan base, and fighting that style, he was superior to Kambosos in every way a fighter can be superior to another fighter, both physically and skill-wise. Yet, what he did is he jabbed and grabbed. That doesn't help your marketing appeal if you're going to fight like that. If you got an opponent overmatched the way he had him overmatched, you do just what Ryan Garcia did last weekend. You look good. You make sure you get people's attention. At least that's
how
I feel.
But there's a difference between George Kambosos and Javier Fortuna, though.
Well,
there may
be. You're talking about
an undisputed champion and trying to knock him out with his skill levels. Yeah, you know, there's levels to this. And Javier Fortuna, Javier Fortuna was not, you know.
Well, he was a two-time world champion.
I wouldn't put him in
Kambosos. Not like he was some pug.
He is. No, I agree
George
with that.
Kambosos, George Kambosos.
You would also agree that he was not in his prime that night.
Well, he may not have been, but that's easy to say in retrospect.
Sure.
Once he got whooped, to say, oh, he got old. Maybe he did, but maybe he just got whooped. The point is,
he was in a weight class.
Ryan Garcia was
shaped.
The point is, Ryan Garcia had him overmatched.
Yes, I mean, no, I would agree with that. But how
when you got an opponent. I'm sorry.
Obviously, Javier Fortuna posed no risk to Ryan Garcia last week. None.
No, I wouldn't.
Everybody
say that.
Knew that going in, because if he did pose a risk, they wouldn't have made that fight.
Ryan Garcia,
no, well, I wouldn't say that.
Was like a minus. He was like a friggin' 20-1 favorite, and the Haney Kambosos fight was a pick'em fight, basically. I mean,
Haney Kambosos was pick'em. I wouldn't go along with that either.
Haney, what was Haney, like a minus 125?
It was
a lot closer,
Haney was a minus 150, and George Kampos was like a plus 150.
That probably had a lot to do with the fight being in Australia, because from a pedigree standpoint. The point is, Haney had him overmatched in every way, just the way Garcia had Fortuna overmatched. He was bigger than him. He was taller. He had a longer reach. He was faster, harder puncher. He had him overmatched. Haney had Kambosos overmatched to the point that he could have done anything he wanted to, and what he did was jab and grab. And this is why the guy gets criticized, and this is why a lot of fighters don't want to fight him, because he stinks to join out. I haven't seen him do the same thing. You know, I don't mind if you go to distance and you box, but if you're going to box, you need to be a little bit dazzling. You need to at least punch in combinations and use that hand speed, because he had a hand speed advantage in the fight too.
Yeah, I mean, you're not the only one that says this. I mean, there's a lot of people that just don't like Devin Haney's style, and I respect that opinion.
Yeah.
But I just want to say one thing too about Haney. He mentioned too that like they got to get everything right. And his dad's got to be able to come into the country. I think that did leave a bad taste in his mouth, the way that whole thing went down with his dad, too. That kind of, I think, left a bad taste in his mouth. And he wants to make sure he even said, we got to make sure that doesn't ever happen again. I'm going back there. That was kind of fucked up when they tried to not let his dad go over there.
And I don't
think
it was
fine,
purposeful.
But the thing
is, it's just the law. It's just rules.
Australia's
had
those laws long before Bill Haney was ever in the picture. That's just how they
right.
do
That's
but,
what I'm
but
saying.
Again,
I don't think it
but
was
again,
personally.
But again, the charge was like from 30 years ago.
Yeah, but,
it's
one of those things where it's just rules. It's not, one of those rules that they have. I don't think it was anything personal like they didn't do it on purpose.
I'm not saying it was personal. I just think it was just a...
It was bad timing. Put it that way.
Well,
I don't agree with
a lot. Yeah, I agree.
They didn't invent that for Bill Haney. That was already a thing. Just like Fury. Fury's dad is not allowed.
But
over
again,
here.
They sprung it on him last minute, though. Too, they sprung it on him last minute.
Well,
the timing was bad.
About,
the way it was handled was poor. The way it was handled was poor.
What I've seen about it was they were aware. They were aware, the Haney camp, that could be a occurrence, that it could happen that way. But in the end, they got it right, and they let him come over despite their laws. They let him go. Personally, I think he would have, same outcome would have occurred with or without his father, because he knows how to fight. But was it, could it possibly have been a distraction? Certainly it could have been. But again, when you're a top athlete and you're an athletic fighter like Haney is, if you want to spoil and jab and grab and move around, you can do that and make it almost impossible for your opponent to make a fight. Mayweather did it several times in the second half of his career, and he called it stealing money, and that's what I call it. I've spent thousands of dollars on fights over the years and thousands of dollars on boxing over the years, and I just can't appreciate a fighter, especially when they got major advantages, not doing something. You know, go watch Ray Leonard. When Ray Leonard fought, if he was superior to his opponent, you were going to know it and you were going to get, you were going to feel like you got your money's worth. He's going to take some chances in there, and he's going to get some things done. He's going to throw some fast combinations to entertain the crowd, and he's going to get things done. I give Haney a little tiny reprieve in this fight because he was fighting on foreign soil, and he was fighting for all the marbles. And, but next time I see him against an overmatched opponent, I don't want to see that. And lastly, I also will say this. Devin Haney, I was one of the people that called him a paper champion. And there was plenty of people that did that because, for me, titles are won and lost in the ring. I don't blame Lomachenko for taking a unification fight over fighting a beltless mandatory, which is what Devin Haney was. At the time, he was a beltless mandatory. He hadn't even fought the 39-year-old Gamboa or the 37-year-old Jorge Linares. He really had fought nobody. He didn't have a belt. He just had his affiliation with Dazen and that number one ranking. And so I don't blame Loma. People are like, oh, I'm going to drop this belt. You know, no, he fought a unification fight that was billed as an undisputed fight that night. But nonetheless, you can't call Haney a paper champ now because he did beat the man who beat the man who was the man. However, he only beat one fighter to get those belts. And that's a whole different story than, say, back when Oscar De La Hoya was the welterweight champion. You had Trinidad was the other champ. Mosley was the other champ. And Ike Cortez was the other champ. Now, if you're one of those four fighters and you beat those three guys, those other three, then you're truly undisputed with in how the word's defined, because nobody can dispute that if you beat those guys, you're the best fighters in the division. Haney is the undisputed champ, hasn't fought the best fighters in the division.
I think that's a fair point. Jerry, we're going to get running. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Make sure to call back. That was a great call.
Thank you, yeah.
Great call.
All right, buddy. Yep, thanks.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because he brought up an interesting point there. De La Hoya, again, had to go, you know, you talk about these guys who got to go and fight. Terence Crawford did this in his divisions, fought separate fighters to get to collect these belts, basically. Haney fought one guy to get the belts. Charlo fought one guy to get the belts. Well, Charlo won the belts. Definitely won the belt, so he had to go around. But, and he's right, he hasn't fought the best guys in that division.
No, he fought one guy.
But here's
the problem. He wants to fight the other guys. It's not like he's avoiding the other guys. So, I mean, if Tio had all – Tio, he wanted to fight Tio when Tio had all the belts. He wanted to fight Loma when Loma had all the belts.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not
– Loma's the fight. Loma's the fight I think they're angling for.
And he wants to fight Loma now.
And Bob Arum doesn't want to pay step-aside money. You know how Bob Arum is with step-aside. He doesn't like to pay it. So they will go through with this fight. And my prediction is they will go through this fight in October, and then next year, early next year, they're going to look to set up that Loma fight.
Man, it's just like when Tio beat Loma, he beat no one really complained and said, oh, well, you know, he only beat one. Well, some people said he only beat one guy, but, like, he beat the best guy in the division.
Right.
Right?
He beat the best guy in the division. So, in turn, he's the best guy in the division. Kambosos beat him, so he's the best guy in the division.
Yeah, so a lot of people never thought Kambosos was the best guy in the division, but some people did, but not everyone.
I didn't think
but most of the people at the time thought Loma was. So that's why the situation is different, I guess, this time.
Yeah.
But, you know, you hear this a lot. Oh, when someone becomes undisputed after they beat one guy, oh, well, he didn't have to do the heavy lifting that the other guy. Okay, so I mean, when a guy becomes undisputed, he's going to have to defend that undisputed title. So what's supposed to happen every time someone wins undisputed? Is he supposed to vacate all the titles and then someone else has to put them all together again? I mean, as long as you're beating the man, then you're the man. That's it. You know, I hate when people say, oh, well, this guy had to do all the heavy lifting. And again, it's an opinion.
I see it. I definitely see his point because when Kambosos won that, he's now considered the best in the world, but very few people considered him the best in the world.
Yeah.
But, hey, he's got the belts to say he's the best in the world. So who are we, you know, at the end of the day?
Yeah.
So good call, man. Good call. Good points. Good everything, man. Good stuff. All right, guys, that is going to do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Don't accept any substitutions because, you know, he's been getting hacked recently. My man has been getting cyberbullied. He's been getting hacked. Beeb, I feel for you. We're gonna talk after this. This is awful.
People are trying to cancel the Beeb. That's what it is.
Cancel culture at its highest form.
I don't know if you guys know this.
I know it.
The Beeb is uncancelable.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Uncancelable. He can't be canceled.
I don't know that that's a word, though. He is to not be canceled. I don't think uncancelable.
Check it the source. It's in there. Check it the source.
I'll check it, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to be wasting my time.
Trust me.
You find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com and find me at ringside73 on Twitter, and we will catch you guys next week.